Welcome to the Knowledge Chamber. I'm your host, Robert Hess. Now, as many of you know that come to the PDC, we typically take, and the day before the PDC starts, we have a day-long intensive of workshops. And this is like a track, and the entire track is just focused on a particular technology. And within that track, we have different sessions, each one layering upon the next, to help you understand some concepts about some of the technologies that we'll be also dealing with at the PDC as well. This is our chance to provide you some great information that you may need in order to get your jobs done. In this episode, we're going to be talking with Aide Miller. Now, Aide, you've got a session you're going to be doing, and it's called what?
Patents for Parallel Computing.
Patents for Parallel Computing. When I think of parallel computing, I think of, you know, a big Cray mainframe someplace and all the fancy lights and switching and junk like that, and NASA doing all of its junk on it. And maybe all I want to do is, you know, write Doom or something like that.
So yeah, you're right. That is part of parallel computing, and the flashing lights are really important. But in fact, if you look at the laptop you're using today or the desktop machine you've got, that's actually capable of doing parallel processing. Most machines you buy today have multiple cores in. So as a developer today, if you want to take advantage of the current hardware that your users have, it's starting to get to the point where you have to think about parallelism and how to take advantage of that on the desktop and so, also in other scenarios like the cloud.
So the multi-core model that, I mean, you know, all the ads for new laptops, mm-hmm. and they're mm-hmm. talking about multi-core. So you're saying that basically a multi-core is just like an old multi-CPU system. I mean, back when Windows NT was first getting started, we had this big, gigantic HP server with like, I think, 62 processors mm-hmm. in it and stuff like that. And a multi-core is just putting all that into my laptop?
In a very simplistic way, yeah. You've just squished the whole thing into your laptop, which, when you think about it, is kind of cool, right? You
yeah.
know, I grew up with really big, complicated computers, and now they've squished the whole thing into my laptop.
And so, in order for me to take advantage of it, or that my program is on my computer, take advantage of this multi-core system, they probably need to be written to take advantage of multi-core. The same way that a 64-bit chip, in order to take advantage of a 64-bit chip, you want to be running the 64-bit version of Windows rather than the 32-bit version of Windows.
Yeah, that's right. The key difference there is previously you would just basically take your application and someone else would have done all the work by writing a 64-bit compiler. And for the most part, you'd take your code, you'd tweak it a little bit, you'd recompile it, and you'd go home, you were done, and it would just magically run faster. So as processors got faster, as caches got bigger, clock speeds went up, basically you just recompiled and everything, you know, just worked. The challenge with multi-core and parallelism in general is you have to start to think about how you write the code and the algorithms you use in different ways. You can't just recompile and go home. That's always been a dream, but the reality is the compilers just aren't smart enough to do that with your applications, except in some very limited cases.
What does it mean then to make an application multi-core aware or for parallelism?
You have to start to think about the app differently, and you have to start to break the problem up so that different pieces of it can run on your different cores or processors. So in a lot of cases that means breaking the actual problem apart, and you can really think of it as sort of how do you break the problem apart, how do you schedule work onto those different processors or cores, how do those processors and cores maybe share data while they're actually working on a problem, and then how do you take all the results that have been calculated on all those different components and push them back so that you, the user, gets one answer, right? Because you don't want, you know, you still want the same mm-hmm. one answer. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of challenges around doing that. And some of it's related to the sort of hardware you're using, some of it's related to the sort of algorithm you're using. But you have to start to think about those things in a very different way. And the latest sort of tools and technologies coming out in Dev 10 start to make some of that easier. They start to make, for instance, you know, creating that that series of tasks all running on different threads on different cores, and how those different tasks are allocated processor time. They start to make that easier, but you, the developer, still have to think quite a lot about how you're going to break the problem up and how you're going to share state while the problem's running and how you're going to merge it together. Mm-hmm. So the good news is some of the heavy lifting's done for you. You spend a lot less time thinking about threads and a lot more time thinking about, say, tasks. But it doesn't do the whole thing. So you have to start to think about the fundamental sort of goo.
The concepts, the mindset.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So and what we're trying to do with this talk at PDC, or this series of talk at PDC, is come up with something so that as a developer you can go home with a set of these patterns that and ways of thinking about parallelism that don't just apply to your multi-core box, but would also help you if you were building a SOA app or building an app on Azure or building an HPC cluster app. And we've got various people coming to talk during the day about some of these different aspects.
Mm-hmm. Now, if I were to take an application and break it up so that it could take advantage of parallelism, whether it's on a multi-core system or whether it's doing a cloud-based computing, does that also mean it doesn't work in a single-core model? Do I have a multi-core version and a single-core version of my application?
That depends a little bit on your application. It depends a little bit on how fixated you are with performance, too. The nice thing about some of the technologies coming out of the many-core group is that, actually, it will do the best it can given the number of processors. So essentially, if you run your parallel code on a single processor, if you're using the task parallel library, it'll figure that out and it'll just run on as though it's on one core.
Because I guess part of the pattern would be not saying I'm going to have four cores on my system and just spin out for four cores. You're saying I'm going to have n number of cores
exactly.
And just make sure things work properly. And if the cores go up to 64 or more, great. If they go down to two or less.
Exactly, and that's something that's sort of part of the technology aspect that some of the tools and frameworks can help you with. Although obviously, as a developer, you still have to think about that a little bit. For instance, if you parallelize your app in such a way that the way you've done it makes the assumption, well, I've got four cores because all the boxes that my users have today have four cores.
Or the box you're currently developing on has four cores.
All the box I'm currently developing on has four cores. And I've basically said, well, every time I want to solve this particular piece of the problem, I'm just going to spin up four tasks. Well, if you give me an 8-core or a 16-core box, then that's kind of not really going to help. So, you have to think about your algorithm in terms of, well, how's it going to scale? How's it going to work if I have more or less cores. Mm-hmm. And as I say, some of the underlying technology within the frameworks can help do that in terms of providing you with a really smart scheduling system. But you still have to think about that. Mm-hmm. And you still have to think about, for instance, you know, how you're going to share data between those cores. Mm-hmm. So there's a bunch of thinking you have to do about your sort of underlying algorithm rather than just sort of, you know, do the switch, the six, I want 64-bit now, please switch. Mm-hmm. There is no, I want parallel now, please switch.
Except in your head.
Yes.
Now, is this something that all or most or many applications could take advantage of properly, or is this only for certain classes of applications?
So, historically, people think about parallel computing and high-performance computing in terms of sort of science and engineering. You know, you see these people who built big simulations of jet airliners and doing, you know, physics and stuff like that. That's not so true today. If you look at the sort of the places where people are using parallel computing, it's moving much more into sort of finance, business, life sciences. You know, so it's becoming much broader just from the number crunching aspects. And then people are trying to use it for all sorts of other interesting things just to make the day-to-day desktop experience more interesting. You know, you can make your applications more responsive by making them parallel. For instance, you know, they can go off and go and get data from multiple sources at once rather than doing it serially. They can do what's called speculative execution. So, for instance, I could say, well, I want to carry out this action on this piece of data, and your hardware has all these cores there. So you could say, well, if you did this on this piece of data, you're probably going to want to do it on these other bits of data. I've got these idle cores. Why don't I go and start a few of those for you, and then if you decide you want to do it on the next thing, well, I'll have the next thing right there. Mm-hmm. So there's a bunch of these sort of big challenges coming down the pipeline around sort of truly sort of interactive immersive computing around, you know, voice recognition, facial recognition, all these things that are actually going to require more computing power sort of on the client in order to do those things. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely moving out of the sort of school I grew up in when I was doing high performance computing, which was sort of physics, where it was very much an engineering science type thing. Especially now, everybody has all these cores on their desktop or on their laptops. You know, it's there. People are going to want to use it. Mm-hmm. And if you don't take advantage of those cores, well, essentially your applications really aren't going to get that much faster. Certainly not in the way they have over the last couple of decades, where essentially it just keeps doubling.
And that's kind of the key thing right now. They're talking about the multi-core CPUs being that next level of speed increase, mm-hmm. and keeping the Moore's Law moving mm-hmm. forward in that mm-hmm. fashion. And now you're saying that now it's no longer just the hardware doing all the heavy lifting, but now the programmers now need to participate in that
yep.
to make sure that their applications are properly spreading out onto those cores and take advantage of the
speed. Exactly. Yeah. If your app just keeps running on a single core, well, it'll still get a little bit faster as, you know, the engineers figure out how to get the most out of those cores and they provide more cache and what have you. But if you look at the real performance gains that are being made possible now, it's not about clock speed. Clock speed's essentially flat. It's about making use of the actual cores, the other cores on your machine. Mm-hmm.
So would an application like, let's say, you know, a desktop app like Excel or Outlook or Word, are they an application that they would get a benefit from taking advantage of multi-cores?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I believe Excel already does take advantage of multi-core. It'll already run on at least four cores on mm-hmm. your desktop machine.
So what about maybe your Calc or Notepad?
Not really. I mean, it's not... one of the things you should do when you start to parallelize your application is you need to figure out which bits of it are actually causing the bottlenecks, which bits of it are actually doing that heavy lifting. There's a thing called Amdahl's law, right, which essentially says that, you know, you're only going to see gains if you parallelize the bits of your app that are running slow, right? Mm-hmm. So you want to go take your app and look for the pieces that are, you know, so that with Excel, you know, you want to look for the piece that's the number crunching engine, right, the actual spreadsheet engine inside Excel, and you want to figure out how to parallelize that, because you're investing developer dollars. You know, you're investing your time and effort, so you want to invest it where it counts. Clearly, the spreadsheet actual core engine, you can do some really useful things there. Can you speed up the file open dialogue, and would anyone care if you did? Well, probably not, right? So there's definitely, I'm not advocating, oh, well, let's just go and find every single piece of code that you have in your app and parallelize it. What you should be doing is looking for the pieces where you can get the most bang for your buck and where it'll make a real difference.
Right. Or ways you can kind of say, well, my application really doesn't have any speed problems right now, but I was avoiding adding this feature to it because I knew that would cause it.
Exactly.
So, let's say you wanted to add a spell checker to Notepad.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a good thing to take and spin off onto a separate core to take and have that doing in the background.
Exactly. So there's a whole bunch of things you can maybe do that you couldn't do before. And so it's kind of a chicken and an egg thing, right? You know, you need to think about your product and say, well, what are these things that I couldn't do? Not just how should I take what I'm doing today and try and make mm-hmm. it faster? And there are all sorts of interesting things that you can do with your, you know, most applications in order to take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm. So now the session you're going to be doing part of this workshop, is it all just going to be pontificating on stage and telling about stuff, or are the attendees actually going to have some hands-on kind of experience in seeing how their own applications might be able to take advantage of a multi-core model?
Yeah, I'm certainly not intending on pontificating. I'll be doing a sort of a session on you know, trying to make sense of patterns. You know, what are patterns? Here are some examples of some of these parallel patterns. But actually, we're going to spend a big chunk of the day talking to several people from the product teams. We've got Stephen coming in from the parallel computing group. We've got Richard coming in from the high performance computing HPC server group, and they'll be working through some sort of specific examples and showing, you know, how you can use different pieces of technology that's either shipping today or shipping in Dev 10 to leverage the parallelism on your client and in an HPC cluster. So no, it's not going to be a boxes and lines, let's draw some pretty pictures and talk about patterns day at all. We'll be doing a bit of that because that sort of sets the frame, but we'll definitely be spending some time in the code, looking at how you can go around parallelizing things, what problems that causes if you do it or do it wrong, or you know what the challenges are there, with some specific examples. We'll also be having Herb Sutter come in and give us sort of an overview of you know where we think we are in the parallel space. He wrote the end of the free lunch article for Dr. Dobbs.
Oh,
I don't know whether you've seen that.
Yeah.
That was the kind of wake up call, or it should have been to us all to think, hang on. Now's
it applies to us now.
Yeah. Now's the time not to just hit recompile and go home because it's not going to give us the desired result.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks. I mean, it sounds like a great workshop, and I know a lot of people will really enjoy listening to it, even if they haven't quite gotten on to that whole mindset of thinking about parallel computing and taking advantage of multicores.
Yeah. No, I think it's going to be a really exciting day. I'm really looking forward to it. Hoping lots of people are going to be there, and we can help explain some of the intricacies of parallelism to
you. So hopefully that gave you some insights on how at the PDC, the workshop the day before, is going to be focusing on a number of technologies, including how you can take and use parallelism in your programs.